It's here and now. Tomorrow, Friday, maybe next week, the Supreme Court is scheduled to rule on two landmark cases, same-sex marriage and the Affordable Care Act. And backers and critics of the death penalty are also watching for a ruling on the constitutionality of some lethal injection drugs. So what's taking so long? The session's almost over. NPR's legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg has insight. Hi, Nina.
Hi.
Well, let's talk about the session in general. Have you seen interesting ideological alliances between justices that surprised you?
Well, you do all the time, because there are issues on which some justices agree or disagree that you might or might not expect. But there are always surprises, and there are probably a few more this term. Last week, for example, the Supreme Court upheld the Texas decision that it refused to produce specialty license plates for the Sons of the Confederacy, who wanted to have their own plate and to have the Confederate flag on it. And the court said that license plates are state speech, they're not private speech, and the state is free to say what it wants on those plates. Mm-hmm. It was a 5-4 decision. The five were the four liberal justices plus Justice Thomas, the most conservative member of the court. And I think most observers would not have expected that. And it may be a function of the kinds of cases, this particular kind of case. And there are others like that. You never know. Get the chance to interview Justice Thomas about why he felt this way in this case and not in another case. That's the way it is. And so it's worth noting. But more than that, all you can do is speculate about why.
Well, talk about the decisions. How are they made? This isn't a matter of, you know, the way it is outside the courtroom where people have their opinions. How are decisions formed and put together?
This is something that people really don't understand at all. Most of the decisions, first of all, the initial vote on every case happens the Friday after it's argued. So it's argued Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, they have a conference on the following Friday, and they have a vote, a tentative vote. They sit around a table, they discuss it, and they vote. And that vote is not in stone, but it is the working vote.
So for gay marriage and Obamacare, the two big cases, that would have been back in April and March.
That's exactly right. And the end of April for same-sex marriage, at the beginning of March for Obamacare. And then if the Chief Justice is in the majority, he assigns who's going to write the majority opinion. If he's not, the senior justice in the majority assigns who's going to write the opinion. And the dissents are generally also assigned by seniority, but more by also agreement. So then the justice assigned to write the opinion begins work. And inside his or her chambers, it may go through 6, 8, 10 drafts before it's circulated to the other members of the court. And once it's circulated to the other members of the court and the dissent is written, there is response back and forth to the dissent. There is enormous disagreement sometimes about the language in an opinion, and it can go back and forth among the justices like a shuttlecock 10 or even 20 times. If you go in the Library of Congress and you look at justices' papers, you will see that reflected. I remember that in one decision that I'll tell you about, Justice Kennedy wrote something to the effect of, sometimes the author of an opinion is tempted to say, enough. And they were fighting over really one or two sentences. A fight is an exaggeration, but disagreeing about one or two sentences. And that was a case involving a graduation prayer, that is, a non-sectarian prayer at a public school graduation, and was that constitutional or not? Now, this is really instructive because the initial vote in that case was 5-4. Kennedy was assigned to write the opinion. He sat down to write the opinion. He tried and he tried, and he said, it just won't write. I'm going to switch my vote. I'm going to go the other way. I think upon trying to write this to justify allowing the prayer, I can't do it. And I'm going to vote the other way. So he then was assigned to write the opinion the other way.
Wow.
And there ensued enormous discussion back and forth about his draft. You have to work these things out. There's no lobbying like there is in Congress. There is no trading vote for vote. And almost all, but not all, of the decision-making is based on stuff that's in writing, that is exchanged among the justices in writing.
And as you say, when he was having trouble writing, it wasn't because, again, of his opinion, right? He was researching and looking at law, or why was he having trouble writing?
I think that he was trying to write a justification for what he thought his opinion was, a legal justification for what he thought his legal opinion was. And it didn't write. That's the expression. It didn't write. Mm-hmm. It didn't make sense when he put it down on paper. And he realized that actually he was wrong and that it wrote the other way.
Yeah. So that's a justice who was writing a decision and was wrestling with the legal points that he had to make. Are justices often swayed? You know, maybe they're not writing the opinion, but they maybe are swayed as they see another justice writing one.
It doesn't happen often, but it does happen. Mm-hmm. Every justice, I think, will tell you that. And again, if you go to the Library of Congress and you look at papers, you can see there was a case involving video recording. I can't remember the name of it, but way back in the dark ages when we first could tape stuff off of TV. And the movie industry maintained that that was a violation of the copyright law, that to have individuals to be able to tape stuff off of TV. And the case went to the Supreme Court, and the initial vote was, I don't remember what it was, but and Justice Blackmun was writing the opinion, and they couldn't agree on rationales. And in the end, at the very end of the term, Justice Stevens took a hand at trying to write an opinion that instead of siding with the movie industry and saying it was a copyright violation, went the other way, and it got the votes. It was circulated, it got the votes, but it needed work, and they put it off, had it re-argued the next term, and it came out differently than it originally seemed like it was going to.
So here we are coming to the end of this year's session, and as you've said, the big decisions, the justices might have taken their first vote April, March, been writing since then. Answer something for us, because a lot of people think that they hold the bigger decisions till the very, very end so they can just get out of town. Is it that, or is it just that, as you said, they're crossing the T's, dotting I's, getting them printed? What's the reasoning?
They are meeting a deadline, and these are big, complicated cases. These are not easy cases. Same-sex marriage will either change the face of marriage in America, or it will maintain the status quo in many states where bans now exist. This is a very big deal. You don't want to get it wrong. You want to write it the right way. You want to answer the dissent, which you can be assured will be very passionate one way or the other. Whoever is on the dissenting side, it'll be very passionate, and you want to answer those points in the dissent. And not all cases, big cases, come out at the end of the term. I would remind you that Roe versus Wade was decided in January, and so was Citizens United, the campaign finance case. Yeah. In both cases, they had been re-argued for one reason or another, and they were ready, so they came out in January.
So they're not just doing this to us.
No.
Is your point. NPR's legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg with her unique longtime view of the Supreme Court. Nina, thanks so much.
You're welcome.